The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, it's November 1st, and I'm in a food coma, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you?
Can't talk. Crashing.
Let's get into the... All right, so untap, upkeep, and draw. And those of you listening to the live show heard take one. This is take two. Forgive the echo. I still am figuring out the studio, so there's a slight echo in here, but
I thought that was just a massive sugar rush that I was experiencing. Okay, that works.
That works for me. So before we begin, though, we want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys, with their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge. Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in Catskill, New York, and also on the second floor of Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, as well as their new location, which we haven't been given the okay to necessarily throw out there yet. But there is actually now a new location. So, and how did that open? Interesting. So,
Benson's over there hitting buttons.
Oh, yeah. So we want to say, you know, Kerwin's is the absolute best place to go in gaming. Now, like I said, Poughkeepsie, Catskill, you can find them online if you can't get to their places. And Aramis has disappeared. You can find them at kgsonline.com. That's KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. If you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout, you get 5% off your online order, which is just appropriate for this time of year where it's time to buy Christmas gifts for Will. And we also want to take a second to recognize our patrons. Our rare level patrons are Steve, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer, VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, Dragon D's Nuts, and our newest member, Levi. And we also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake, Jonathan, and Imagine Dragging the Sea Across Your Face. I still love it. And we also cannot forget our producer, Jamie. We thank you guys so much just for everything you've done. We couldn't do this show without you. Believe it or not, so much of what you guys do. As a patron, they get so many great little bonus and so many little perks. One of the biggest perks they get, well, besides what we're doing right now with the Winnabox promo, we'll talk about that in a minute. But they also get first dibs at our Commander Craft broadcast, which is on Wednesdays at 7. We play two listeners in usually two games. Sometimes it's only one, but usually at least two games where we end up playing each other in Commander, Paper Commander, using Spell Table over the internet. So our patrons get first stabs at that. They have until tomorrow morning when I'll open it up to anyone in our Discord or anyone else who wishes to play. To find out more and becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. They also get first shot at our Winnabox tournament, which, and this tournament, that was actually something. A lot of people took advantage of that. We're also proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talker Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel, and you can download them on almost all podcatchers these days. You can also find them on our Discord. They have their own section. Go to discord.plainstalkerspodcast.com. We also want to finally remind you we do have our survey still open, survey.plainstalkerspodcast.com. Go there, do the surveys, let us know what you think. We actually are reading it. We're implementing things, and we're really thankful. But we're still in untapping, so I am definitely going to untap in my new office that actually has a refrigerator. So I'm drinking some District 96 Dale Snake Ale. It's a Northeast IPA, so down the hatch, a salute. And sir, Aramis Perez, how the hell are you, sir?
Listen, the calendar turned to November 1st, and I'm sitting there staring at the calendar rather accusingly because I'm trying to figure out where March went. Because, I mean, 2021 has been bloop, and it's gone.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Not that I'm complaining, because we're still in the midst of this, you know, whole pandemic, but I wish 2020 had gone by that fast.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm with you on that. It's definitely been a strange year. It's been a strange year of changes. Like the fact our daughter moved out and moved into her place. She got moved in on Friday. Yay. She's living with Logan, who's now a member of the family. Like I no longer can refer to him as, you know, just the boyfriend. He's living with Isabel now, so it's, you know, he's family, which is great. And I think he's a wonderful person. I do. But we got them all moved in. That was interesting. Moving, I hate moving. I don't know anybody that likes it, but moving, period.
That's
Like,
not fun. I've done my fair share of that. It's not great. I mean, you get good at it, but
yeah, and
it's
that's
one of
just
those.
it. No.
It's not a skill you want to be good at.
No,
I'm really hoping that our next move is the last one, but it's technically going to be two anyway, so whatever.
well, I ended up taking, like, kind of taking over because Isabel never moved before. She was, you know, we were moving Logan out of his place. We were moving Isabel out of her two places. And I'm like, honey, you have no idea the amount of, like, we have to really think about. And at one point, she was like, okay, we're loaded up at her dad's. And I'm like, okay, let's run a run. And she's like, well, no, Logan and Gabe will be here, you know, soon. Like, how soon? She's like, an hour or so. I'm like, honey, we're going. Like, no. We'll come back. They'll be here. Like, it was just one of those, like, because it was so many spinning parts, but we got it done. We got it all done on Friday. So she came over Sunday, picked up a few things out of the room while I was setting, you know, everything up Saturday. And, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, though. You know, one of your kids has moved away and they're not at college and they're not going to be moving back in. Or if they do, it's because something's happened that, you know, it's a strange feeling. Like, you know, you feel a little weird. Don't get me wrong, I'm loving this room. This space is really cool. But
Yeah,
would you the day? Wow, how strong is
it
this? What were you up to this weekend? I'm drinking a gallon of straight PCP. My Jesus, Dave.
So, I mean, so listen, you know, I have a 7-year-old, which means this weekend was all about Halloween, which I am totally okay with.
Isn't it
So,
his birthday too?
no, his birthday's in February.
Oh, okay.
So we picked up my brother-in-law from Ithaca on Saturday.
Ooh.
It's a nice drive. You know, it's a little boring. It's kind of a
Yeah.
straight shot. One of those things. It's a lot of I-88, which
Yeah.
is an abomination, but it's not as bad as I-787. Anyway, now it's a very nice drive. It's very easy. Once you do it a couple times, you basically memorize it. We picked him up. You know, we watched. We had like a little family movie night for Halloween. We watched the new, not the newest one, but the animated Addams Family that came out a couple years ago.
Ah, okay.
That was kind of nice. That was kind of cool. And then on Sunday, you know, we kind of chilled out for a bit, and
Trick or
we did our
treat.
traditional pizza and wings before we went trick or treating. Alejandro went as Marty McFly, and his brother and my brother-in-law, his uncle, went as Doc Brown,
I
and it
love
was really
that.
cool.
I saw pictures of that.
Me and my wife went as bacon and eggs, and believe it or not, we were actually the bigger hit of the evening.
Yeah.
More people came up to us going, "Oh my God, bacon and eggs, that's so cool." And some people were like, "Oh, hey, it's the guy from Rick and Morty."
Oh dear.
And it's like, yeah, no. But a lot of people did get the reference and they thought it was really cool and awesome. So that was good. And he got more candy this year, I think, than he ever has. He filled 2/3 of the little bag that he carries around. We got him one.
You're not at the
We got him like a
pillowcase level
personalized
yet.
trick or treat, like a little personalized trick or treat bag with his name on it when he was born. So every year that he's gone trick or treating, he's taken that bag with him. And this year it was at least 2/3 of the way, if not a little bit more full. So I was very, very happy for that. The candy tax man is coming.
Oh
Um,
yeah.
there is no there is no escaping that. We did end up there was. We were getting close to the end of trick or treating, and this nice couple came up with a pair of greyhounds. They were super nice dogs, super nice people.
Buses? Oh, okay.
The dogs. And they're like, "Hey, our house is at the end of the road here. We have our bowl of candy set out. Go ahead and clean us out. Take as much as you want."
Oh dear.
We're like, "Cool. Okay." So we get
And
there.
done.
And, you know, there were a couple of kids coming up behind us, so we didn't take all of it. We took a huge handful, but there was still plenty left. And of course, it's dark. You don't know what you're grabbing. We
Tell me
get
they were the
home.
full-size candy bar people.
I wish.
Ah.
No, these were the Jesus candy people.
Oh no.
So it's bags of jelly beans and Smarties, but all of them have scripture writings on them or talking about God and how it's all wonderful and He is the Lord and our Savior, blah, 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 blah. And for those of you who don't know, I'm kind of an agnostic atheist. I have no problem with religion per se, but we're not forcing anything onto our son until he gets old enough to make the decision for himself.
What will force the
And
agnostic atheism on him? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean that may come just by osmosis, but
I know,
we're
I'm
not,
just kidding.
we're letting him, like, if he decides to be, say, hey, I want to be Muslim, great, that's awesome, do your research,
Yes.
that's all we ask. But yeah, so we're like, all right, well, I guess that's why they wanted to give us so much candy. And it's not, and the candy's actually pretty good. It's not that it's bad. It doesn't, it tastes fine.
And
So
Pam comes in for the win.
The holy jelly beans, I do. The power of
See,
candy compels me.
this is weird. I'm of two minds on the subject. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm very much so. But I'm not a dick about it, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, I'm very much like, so I get that. Like, I think about something like Penn Jillette put out a video a few years ago because some guy kept proselytizing to him with like a Bible. Like he handed him a Bible and he's like, I'd love to talk to you about this. And Penn Jillette, who's very not, remotely in this camp of Christianity whatsoever, but he was like, you know what? I dig it because if if you think you know the way to eternal life and you don't share it with somebody, what kind of an asshole are you? And I'm like, that's a very interesting way to look at it. And so I've kind of always had that. Like, I live my life the way I live my life. I talk to anybody who wants to talk about it. But, I'm
Penn is a
also.
huge atheist.
Oh, huge. But it was
Huge.
incredible to listen to him talk about it because he's like, he wasn't insane. He wasn't crazy. It sounds like your neighbors weren't.
No,
They're just
they were super nice.
proselytizing. Right. They're just
Yeah, and that's
proselytizing.
fine.
And you know what? For me, I'm like, whatevs.
Yeah,
But.
and it wasn't like we weren't we're not like offended by it or anything.
Right.
You know, we're kind of we have a good laugh about it, but they never came across as the type of people saying, "Hey, here's our candy, and by the way, you need to read these scriptures because you're gonna burn in hell."
Well, yeah, well, so I mean, you
So
are.
it'll be I'll be I'd rather be warm than cold.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's go to upkeep before I get excommunicated from my church. So obviously tonight we've got quite a big show. It's Crimson Vow time. It's
Woo!
welcome to previews. So we have card previews. We're going to go through some of the mechanics. Kind of bird's eye. I mean, obviously this show is going to go a little long tonight. It almost always does on this episode. But we're going to go through that. We're going to go through. We each picked about three cards. I think we're going to kind of tear apart. We do have some combat, maybe. May talk about something. If not, if there's no time for Love, Dr. Jones, I totally get it. And then we're gonna in main two. It's gonna be wall to wall, with a box and tell you guys how you can win a box of Crimson Vow. So that's gonna be our show. Let's get into the main phase.
Main phase.
All right, welcome to main phase. So, Crimson Vow was. They've started spoiler. Well, we shouldn't call it spoiler season, preview season. They started previews, what, last Tuesday or
Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Last Thursday. It would be
With
with
one
the.
of the most shortest
And not,
and.
totally not cringy.
Yeah, not, well, a little cringy.
It was cringy.
It
It
was
was really cringy.
cringy, yeah.
It's
I mean,
cringy.
it wasn't Jimmy cringy, but it was,
They mentioned Jimmy.
they did mention, I was like, oh God, are they going to bring Jimmy out in like a werewolf costume? Dear God,
I
don't
was kind
go.
of expecting that, actually.
Yeah, actually, so was I. And but I will say that it was not what I expected. But then again, I mean, they're kind of doing more streams lately. So obviously they just had one for Midnight Hunt. But during those streams you'd also get like a, and this is the roadmap for the next year, and this is what's coming up, and this is how this all, they'd get more into the lore, whereas this one was kind of like they had two people who I didn't know. I think one of them was from Twilight
Well,
or
the
True
one,
Blood.
Becca Scott is a Magic personality. She's done like commentating for on tournaments and things like that before.
Okay.
She's a personality for Magic.
Okay, and the other one was an actress for something,
some
and
vampire for something.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
I don't
probably
know.
Twilight. Honestly, I'm looking at her going, she's thin, she's got red hair, somewhat of the right age, probably Twilight. In fact,
I was thinking it
I
was either
kind of want to
Twilight
look
or
her up
True Blood.
now.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, if she's true blood, well, that means there's, like, you know what's out there.
I had never watched True Blood.
There's probably booby pics, so, you know. But, again, she was rather small, so what are you going to do? But let me see. The Crimson Vow preview. Who was on it? I forget her name, because now I do want to know. But they had the... they had the preview video where, and I mean, they really kind of just looked at like three or four cards, I guess. And
I mean, lately they've kind of been doing that. They've kind of been like scratching the surface, I guess, of the set instead of going more in depth. I don't know. It feels like the preview seasons in the past, there were more cards they would drop, you're like, oh my god, wow, this is what they're doing. And this one was just like, hey, here's the mechanics, here's a couple cards that explain it. A couple of the cards were kind of cool, but I don't know.
Yeah, I really kind of felt it was... she's in True Blood, by the way. So, yes. So, okay, so she's a Nookie vampire. She's not a lame vampire. I'm down with that.
She doesn't sparkle?
No, she doesn't sparkle. Thank So, but in any event, JVA, I'm so salty they reprinted Thalia and not Snapcaster. Well, listen, they're not done yet. Snapcaster would be saved till last day.
Snapcaster's not going to be in the set because Flashback is not in the set.
Right.
If he was going to show up, he was going to be in Midnight Vow.
That so sucks.
So... Put your Snapcaster to rest.
Yeah.
It does. It does.
Unless they
does.
Throw it, maybe they'll throw it in the commander set. Sorry.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
So, that ain't gonna happen. Which sucks, because they really do need that. So they had this event. It was okay, but they went through the mechanics. So let's kind of talk a little bit about the mechanics, because there's like three or four there's three new ones. There's training, which is mentor.
Right.
There's exploit, which is sacrificing a creature.
That's also a returning mechanic.
Is it? Oh, so there's only one new one. The and blood tokens.
Well, cleave, training, and blood tokens are new.
No, cleave's not. Cleave is.
Cleave
return.
Is new. Cleave is new.
I thought cleave is a return.
No, cleave is new. Cleave. Well, we'll talk about cleave, but it is a new mechanic.
Okay, because I thought. I really thought we used that in. Nope. One of the earlier versions.
No.
Yeah, introduced in Crimson Vow, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what a mechanic, though. Holy shit. Please keep that.
It's kicker with
upside.
It's kicker. It's all it is.
Yeah. But it's interesting. So, exploit is sacrificing a creature to have the incoming creature do fun stuff. Cleave... we'll talk about in a minute. Blood tokens, sack it, pay one, you draw a card. It's kind of like Clue.
You also
but
have
you're
to you have to discard a card too.
Oh yeah. So it's kind of like that red spell on a stick.
It's kind of like a Clue, only you get some different synergies out of it.
Yeah. I'm thinking Cleave is similar to Overload. You're right, Jake. And return, and then they also have Day and Night, and Disturb is coming back as well. Cleave is the interesting one. Cleave is kicker, but
kicker overload.
Colored kicker, I guess, would be what I'd say.
Kicker's been colored.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, it's... So basically, what cleave does is you have your spell, has its regular cost, its regular effect. For instance, the one they previewed was Dig Up.
Yeah.
So Dig Up is a sorcery for a green that says, search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it to your hand, and then shuffle. It has cleave of 1/2 black and a green. So you can pay it for the cleave cost instead of the regular cost. And if you pay the cleave cost to cast a spell, some of the text in the effect of the spell has brackets around it.
Right.
When you cleave a spell, you remove the brackets. So if you pay the cleave cost...
You mean you dig remove up, the words that are in the brackets.
Yeah, you remove the words that are in the brackets. So what happens is that Dig Up then becomes search your library for a card, put it into your hand, then shuffle. So it turns into Diabolic Tutor.
Right.
So you either have Lay of the Land or Diabolic Tutor, depending on how you pay for it. It gives the spell some flexibility as to how you want to use it. A lot of people have been basically saying that it's basically kicker. You pay one green and you do the thing. You pay four, which is the kicker, the total with the kicker, and you do a different thing. So I can understand where that comes from. There's a lot of things in the game that are basically like Kicker. But it's a fun little twist on being able to play with the text box and make spells do different things entirely dependent on how they're worded. So I kind of like the idea. I'm not sure how good Dig Up is. I think this might be a card that might see some play in Commander. Or maybe some Standard. But it's a fun ability. I'm curious to see where this ends up, you know, popping up.
Yeah, it's the big hotness right now. I think Cleave is kind of where, you know, it's at. And we can kind of... Let's pivot off of that then. So that's kind of the mechanics. Let's go ahead and let's go into some of the previews. So let's open up the slide, and I have it open here on the screen. So the first one we've got is one of yours. So let's go ahead and hit it. Laid to Rest.
So the first card I want to talk about is Laid to Rest. It's a uncommon enchantment for 3 and a green. And it's pretty straightforward. Whenever a human you control dies, draw a card. That's really good. I think human decks are going to really love this card, especially if they're Selesnya.
Yeah, it's a modern. It's going to be a modern staple for sure.
Four mana is a lot. Four mana is a lot, but I like the cost. But that's not all it does.
Right.
It also has text saying whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, you gain 2 life. So if you have a human with a +1/+1 counter, you gain 2 life and draw a card. Right. And green, if this is humans, you're playing probably green and white, so you're probably playing Selesnya. Selesnya loves +1/+1 counters. So I could see it showing up in that kind of a build. I'm not sure in Modern if there are any human decks that run Selesnya. It could play probably Collected Company. Something along those lines. Coco.
Right.
But I like the card. This is a good card in Commander. This is a good card, I think, in Modern. I'm not sure if the 4 mana cost is going to be too much for it. Attracts it possibly too.
Yeah.
You lose some of the synergy unless you play Attracts a Changeling Human Tribal.
Right.
But yeah, it's an interesting way to get some extra cards, get some extra value off your creatures dying. I could even see it if you went into more of like a Sultai or Abzan strategy and were sacrificing creatures for value. Throw a little black in there. So it's a decent card. Nice, not bad for an uncommon. The last time you saw a 4-mana enchantment that was scary was Wilderness Reclamation. This certainly ain't it, but it's decent.
No.
So.
All right. Well, mine is going to be... Oh, wait, I'm on the wrong screen. Is going to be... I came up with Vampire's Vengeance. It is a red and 2 colorless. It's an instant. Deals 2 damage to each non-token vampire, or to each non-vampire creature, and then you get to create a blood token.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like this just because red needed this. Like, the fact that mono red hasn't been a thing for an entire set now is weird to me. Like, this seems 100% a really decent card. It's not the best. But I like the fact that it's doing... It's kind of trying to push the Vampire Tribal a little bit more.
Mm, yeah. I do... I mean, mono red... Red already has a couple of small board wipes like this in Standard. There's one in Kaldheim that I think exiles creatures if they die.
Right.
And a Braid is getting reprinted in this set.
I saw that today. I was like,
so,
wow.
There's a multitude of 2-mana spells that deal 3 damage to creatures. Again, there's not a lot of stuff that goes face. And I think that is... One of the things holding mono red back is that it doesn't have a lot of reach in the regard of direct damage to the face.
Right.
But this is a decent card. I mean, it wipes the board of small creatures. If you're playing vampire, if mono red or like red black vampire aggro becomes a thing, this is a great card for the early game against mono white, or maybe even, I don't know so much about mono green, but possibly mono green, to keep the board clear on their side so that way you can keep going through with your guys.
Right.
And then getting a blood token gives you a little bit of card selection to maybe refill, you know, discard something that's kind of clunky, maybe get some gas. So it's not bad. I like it.
Yeah. So let's see. Your next one. I love this card.
Next card is insert stupid Simic legendary permanent here. this is Grawlnok the Omnivore. So it's 2, a green and a blue for a 3/3 legendary frog. Whenever a frog you control attacks, you mill 3 cards. Okay.
And Jake, you're not wrong. Hold on one second. He's like, it's an easier to cast Cry of Carnarium. Yes,
in a sense,
no.
Yeah.
Cry of Carnarium, though, put the -2/-2 counters on it, didn't it?
And also also exiled the creature if they died, and exiled any creatures that died that turn.
Yeah, Cry of Carnarium, I think, was a better card.
Cry of Carnarium was a better card.
It got around indestructible because it was like they get -2/-2, not deals 2 damage.
Right.
So I think that if believe me, I'd love a Cry of Carnarium.
The red card being an instant is more of a gotcha, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff you're going to be going against. You're hoping they don't have a lot of, like, protection tricks or indestructible, like you said.
Anyway. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
It's cool. No, it's all right. So, Gralnok, yeah, whenever a frog you control attacks, and this is a frog, you mill 3.
Ribbit.
Whenever a permanent card is put into your graveyard from your library, exile it with a croak counter on it. You may play lands and cast spells from among cards you own in exile with croak counters on them. This thing has value engine written all over it. As a commander, this thing is nuts, because if it goes away and comes back, it still sees those cards that are exiled because they have counters on them.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's, like, if somebody happened to, if someone gained control of your Gralnok, it says cards you own in exile.
Yeah.
So you can still, you know, they can't cast your cards.
That's a good commander as well, because there's so much in commander these days that's dealing with getting rid of the damn graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get rid of my own graveyard but still have access to things in my graveyard, hallelujah, God bless America, thank you for that.
Well, this doesn't really do anything with your graveyard.
Basically you're taking things, anytime anything goes into your graveyard, it goes...
From your library.
Oh, okay, from your library.
From your library. So anytime you mill.
Yeah.
So this is a Simic self mill value engine, basically. Right. It protects the cards that you're milling from other people's graveyard shenanigans. As long as you can keep Gralnok in play, you can all your stuff is tucked away in exile, safe to cast. They can't do anything with it because nothing interacts with exile.
Right. That's what I'm worried about. We still haven't heard the card that interacts with something we haven't been able to interact with. All right. So my next one.
I think that's what Cleave was.
Yeah.
Because we never edited the text box before.
Morrow, you suck. Because let's just talk about how Cleave breaks something. Because Alchemist Gambit, that's the card I'm doing next. And holy shit, what the absolute F is wrong with Wizards? Seriously, what are they smoking? Because it's a card that's good as he play. I guarantee you it's going to see play.
Oh,
it's,
absolutely.
Is it colors? So basically, it's a Cleave card. So for 2 red and a colorless, you get take an extra turn after this one. During that turn, damage can't be prevented. And at the beginning of that turn's end step, you lose the game. Exile Alchemist's Gambit.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But the big thing about the at the beginning of that turn's end step, you lose the game is in brackets. And if you play the Cleave cost of 4 colorless, 2 blue, and a red, so 7.
7 mana, that's the magic number.
You get to take an extra turn after this one, and during that turn, damage can't be prevented. So let me see if I understand this right. I'm doing math in my head now.
Mm-hmm.
In a standard deck of 60 cards,
yeah,
we now have 8 out of 60 cards that will give me an extra turn.
I'm not certain 7. This is actually going to be a 4 of. But
I don't see how it's not, because of the damage prevention. The fact
the
that
thing,
the fact
you have
that
to you have to pay for 7. You have to pay
the
7.
The fact that it gets around that is not hard to do in standard today.
No.
The fact that this gets around protection.
Yeah. When I saw this card, I audibly went, "Oh my god."
Yeah.
Cuz remember, they're not banning Alrun's Epiphany until after Crimson Vow comes out. And Alrun's Epiphany was a big card in what color combination that likes to take turns? Is it?
Blue and red, yeah.
So they just gave him an extra toy. I mean, I'm still very happy to be receiving that bundle.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Oh, it hasn't happened yet. We don't know. It could happen next week.
It
I've got till release, sir. Not even pre-release.
They said it's not happening till after release.
Yes, but again, they have changed their minds before. I've got till release, sir.
It's not happening. You just keep crying into that beer.
Well, I'm not crying. I'm just drinking it. But yeah, this card is busted out loud. This card is a mistake of the exponential proportion. It will be banned. I guarantee it'll be banned.
Oh, really?
Oh, don't even start, man. I'm already into you for too much.
I can guarantee
this is going to see a ban.
We may have to have a discussion about this because you guaranteed Mordenkainen would see a ban.
I didn't guarantee Mordenkainen. I said I thought it would. This is a 100%. There isn't any content creator I've listened to this past week that hasn't said the same damn thing. That this card is going to be banned. It's going warp standard completely because extra turn spells should not be in standard. They should not be.
We're costing it appropriately.
We're saying for three, you have to end the game on turn four. Fuck you.
Goldspan Dragon says hi.
Yeah, it's. I'm sorry. This is a mistake.
Think about this. Okay, is it colors, right?
Yeah.
There is a card in Crimson Vow that if you decide you don't want to pay the cleave cost, but you still want to pay seven, you can split the cost up. You play the extra turn. You go to the end of that extra turn. With that trigger on the stack, you flash in overcharged Amalgam. Cost two and two blue. It's a 3/3 with flash and flying and exploit. When it enters the battlefield, and if you exploited a creature, counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability.
So it counters the...
It counters the lose the game rider.
Holy shit!
So they put a combination in the set that gets around this. If you don't feel like paying seven up front, you can get around it. And guess what? It's it. And it has flying. So... I don't know what the hell they're trying to. And expressive iteration. Galvanic iteration, right? Galvanic iteration. That's still. I keep getting those confused.
I know. I get you with it, though.
It's still a thing.
This is busted. This is 100% busted. This card will be banned.
The problem is that there's multiple problems now. Alrun's Epiphany. One of the reasons that it's so good is that it gets around hand disruption because you can foretell it on turn two and just have it. Just park it until you need it. This new one only costs three. And, okay, if they get it, no big deal. You still got Epiphany. You have flexibility on when you want to cast it. If you feel like casting it early, you can flash in an Amalgam to get rid of that lose the game thing that curves you into Goldspan Dragon, which curves you into Alrun's Epiphany, gets you a couple of birds. You probably have the mana to copy it at this point. I mean, I think they ban Alrun's Epiphany at least, but
in a couple
again,
of weeks, they will ban
probably
Alrun's
in a few
in a
weeks,
couple of weeks
and probably Alchemist like a week Gambit, after release.
And Alchemist Gambit will come probably at Kamigawa, is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think
I think
they're going to
ban
anything out of the new set right away.
I think if they ban Epiphany, I think that stays. I think it stays
until the first major tournament. Until they see is it for the second major tournament in a row, everybody playing is it? Wizards will say, okay, it is warping the meta. And they'll be like, well, this is actually a card we wanted to be used in Legacy, which it also is bad in Legacy. But yeah.
I don't think that's the case. I think the fix to that is killing Epiphany. I do think
killing Epiphany is good, but then Galvanic Iteration still copies this shit.
It does, but if you copy it without paying the cleave, you have two turns in a row that you have to worry about the end step losing the game.
Well, no, if you copy it while you pay.
If you copy it while cleave, then yeah, that's the thing. But the other thing too about Alrun's Epiphany is that it gives you a board presence built in. This one doesn't. You have to do more work with this one to get to that point.
It doesn't matter though, because it stops protection. Like, that's the thing.
It's not damage prevention, but the big thing about extra turns is that you're taking the extra turn, so they're not going to be dealing damage to you anyway.
Right, but it stops them from being able to play a protection. Yeah. And there are plenty of creatures and spells out there that stop You know, like this will see play in Commander for sure. This will be in a
Yeah,
Commander deck.
I feel like Alchemist Gambit needs a little bit more setup than Auron's Epiphany.
It does,
It's
but I don't think
it's
as
still
much as you
bonkers.
think. Yeah,
It's still bonkers.
I think it's bannable. I really do. Out of all the
Yeah.
cards that I've seen so far in this set, this is the one that's
It's
bannable.
definitely the one that made me go, God damn it, Wizards, why did you do this again?
Again, yeah, you're just like, what the absolute, what are you smoking? So let's get into your next one, because I mean, we've beaten that to death. So here's your
Yeah.
mythic.
Okay, so my mythic, which I think actually kind of works with Alchemist
It really does.
Gambit. It's Manaform Hellkite. We have a 4/4 flying dragon for 2 and 2 red. Like Benson said, it's a mythic. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, hey, look, that extra turn spell is non-creature.
Yeah,
Create an
it is.
XX. Create an XX red dragon illusion creature token with flying and haste, where X is the amount of mana spent to cast that spell.
Not its mana cost. Ding,
So if
ding,
you cleave
ding.
it,
Not its
7/7.
mana cost.
Exile that token at the beginning of the next end step. So that is okay, good. So you take the extra turn with this in play, you pay 7 to cleave it, you have a 7/7 flying haste, smack him in the face. That goes away. Although if it's late enough in the game, you can overcharge Amalgam to counter that triggered ability as well and keep your 7/7. I
Jesus.
see a deck already just from those three cards.
I know.
This is so, oh my God.
Is it
Yeah,
bonk? Is it the new Simic?
they need to find a couple two tree banhammers for this thing, because I mean, this card, Manaform Hellkite, in and of itself, super
Oh, yeah.
powerful, not bannable.
No.
It's a creature, it dies to
It's an
everything.
enabler. It's an
It's an
enabler.
enabler, and
Yeah.
holy crap, does it enable some shit.
Yeah.
Because
Well, then.
even if you cast play Foretell on Auron's Epiphany, you're getting a 6/6 plus the 2/1s,
Right.
and I mean, if you happen to have 10 mana, there's the Amalgam. That's another 3/3. By the way, they all have flying.
Yeah. Oh, this is not, this is insane.
This card in and of itself, this is a limited bomb.
Yeah.
This is a constructed. This is definitely a constructed card. I'm not sure if the deck exists for this
It's a
yet, although it looks
dragon.
like
It's
the
is it dragons?
it's is it
It's is it
dragons.
dragons? I'm sorry. This goes into every dragon deck out there.
This into
It's one cheaper than
Goldspan.
fucking Goldspan.
This into Goldspan into Epiphany and or Alchemist Gambit.
I'm telling you right now, the Is It Dragon deck just became tier zero. It did.
Yeah, it's tier S.
Yeah. So this is going to be interesting.
It's such a good card, though.
My
I love it.
last one, my mythic. I chose the Cultivator Colossus. That got
You get some
previewed
shenanigans for this one, too. This one's
today.
got shenanigans written all over it.
This one's going to go in my Omnath deck. It's a 7. It's a mythic. It's 3 green, 4 colorless. Creature, plant, beast. Has trample. And it says Cultivator Colossus's power and toughness are each equal to the number of lands you control. So it's already a Nyx, not a Nyx Bloom, but
It could potentially be a 7/7 trample.
yeah. Well, it
At
should be a
least.
7/7 trample when it comes in, because you're
Should, well,
probably
I mean,
paying.
unless you have mana dorks, but
Yeah.
yeah.
When Cultivator Colossus enters the battlefield, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. So now it's an 8/8. And if you do, draw a card and repeat this process. God damn it, Wizards.
Oh,
Why?
did you see the little video clip that MTG Goldfish already put
No.
out with this card?
No, I didn't.
No? You're gonna want to find yourself a copy of that Zendikar Rising Commander deck,
Yeah, I have
the
one.
Nia one.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
have it.
go get Abundance and read that card. So I'll just put that in for you if you don't know what it does.
Oh, no. Let's, well, yeah, you
I
can
got it
put it
already.
in.
Abundance is an enchantment for 2/2 green. If you would draw a card, you may instead choose land or non-land and reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a card of the chosen type. Put that card into your hand and put all of the cards revealed this way on the bottom of your library in any order.
Got it
All
right
you do is pick land.
here.
Keep naming land. So what happens is that
Wow. Yeah, that'll
what
be my.
happens, Cultivator Colossus will come to the battlefield and trigger. If you have a land card in your hand already, that's the other right. You need a little land in your hand. You put that into play, and then you draw a card. Since you're drawing a card, Abundance says, hey, do you want land or non-land? You pick land. You dig through your deck till you find a land. Put that in your hand, the other card's in the bottom. Oh, that counts as the card you drew.
No, you put it in the battlefield. Tapped.
I know, but I'm saying you draw a card. So you put that first land that's already in your hand onto the battlefield. That triggers a Colossus, which makes you draw a card. Abundance is seeing that you're drawing a card. You choose land, which means you get a land from your deck. And, you know, you look through the top cards.
Yeah.
Put that into your hand. The other cards go on the bottom. The final part of the draw trigger, the repeating process of the Cultivator Colossus will then go on the stack and say, oh, you have a land card in your hand? Put it onto the battlefield. Oh, that means you draw a card. Okay, name land. Boop. Okay, put that into play. Okay, draw a card. Okay, name land. Okay. All the lands in your deck are now in play. Yeah. The one thing you need to watch out for is if you're doing that with Omnath, and remember, you only get four triggers off of his landfall.
Yeah, yeah.
However, Field of the Dead's a thing. All the other Omnaths are a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Scoot Swarm is a thing. Oh, God, Scoot Swarm's a thing.
Nyx Bloom Ancient?
Well, they come untapped.
Yeah, that's true.
But Scoot Swarm. Think about how many bugs.
Zendikar.
In a typical Commander deck, you're playing about 38 lands, somewhere in that range.
The plant token and thing alone.
Then Avenger of Zendikar.
Play Avenger of Zendikar.
I mean, Tetiova.
Oh, this card's gonna see play.
This card goes into every. This is automatic in landfall. Throw
every
Abundance in there as well. That plus Abundance. You get those two on the battlefield. Every land in your deck is now in play.
In Commander, I knew you'd like this. I was like, this one Aramis will be like.
There's a lot of shenanigans. The one thing that doesn't work, and I'm glad they mentioned this, was that the bounce lands from Ravnica, the ones that tap for two mana,
right?
They don't work with this,
right?
But all the other shenanigan lands, that's all good. Field of the Dead, go for it.
Yeah, this will be in my Omnath deck, which will
there's some crazy stuff in this set. I do feel like they definitely have cranked the dial down.
Yeah, that's just it. Let's kind of talk about that a little bit. They've listened to us in regards to power level. Okay, the power creep has definitely subsided.
The powerful stuff is really obvious now.
Yeah, and that's how you want it. You want some power in your deck. Mm-hmm. You want some power in limited. I'm with that. I am 100% with it. However, the other side of that is still the extra turn spell. What the fuck? Yeah,
they need to stop printing those in standard legal sets. I really hope. You know, honestly, it's probably going to be a year or two before we would see something like that change. But I really hope that they're listening, because this actually kind of pivots into something else that we don't really have it on the show notes, but I want to talk about that real quick.
Absolutely.
They announced with the Stranger Things Secret Lair how they're going to show up in set boosters, blah 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 blah, and there's going to be, you know, magic versions of those cards. It's not going to be the secret lair versions.
Right.
They backtracked on something they had said earlier. So now the Walking Dead cards are going to get magic equivalents that are going to show up in booster packs sometime in the future.
See, what people haven't realized is this, though. They always said that could happen.
They had said the Walking Dead was exempt originally. They changed their mind.
No, they said it was exempt about it for a while. Thing, but when Walking Dead first came out, they said, we reserve the right to put these into magic sets at some point. When Walking Dead came out, because we talked about it. People forgot it because they came out and then they said, okay, with Universes Beyond, and Walking Dead is not a part of this. But Walking Dead, they kind of got around it. A lot of people forgot that, but they did say, because we talked about it, we're like, well, obviously you're not going to put Negan in there. So they'll make a card that's like Negan. And
yeah, it's the same card, same cost and everything, just they'll have a different name and they'll have Negan underneath it.
It'll be like the Dracula stuff, which we haven't talked about that, which is...
Dracula stuff or the Godzilla stuff.
Yeah.
But my problem with it, it's not really a problem with it, but like the professor touched on this earlier today in a video too. Why couldn't they have just done this from the beginning?
Right.
Because remember, there was a huge outcry about The Walking Dead when it first came out because they're like, what the fuck are they doing? These are mechanically unique cards. It's basically automatic reserved list. If they decide not to do what they're doing now, there's no way anybody can get these outside of Secret Lairs. So, you know, and they'd already done it with the Godzilla stuff. They're doing it with Stranger Things. So it's like, why couldn't they have just done that from the beginning?
You well, know, I don't think what they're doing with the Dracula stuff. I like.
I'm glad they're doing this stuff, but it's like,
yeah,
yeah. That should have been how it always was.
And it's a win a box. It's a buy a box promo card. It's not anything crazy.
I will say I was disappointed when they said those were the box toppers because I was kind of hoping that's where they would slip in, like Liliana the Veil or Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah.
Nope, it's reskins of cards from the set, which is like, all right, fine. I mean, if you're into Dracula, then great. I mean, myself personally, I'm not too jazzed about these. It's like, whatever.
I'm not getting a collector booster, that's for sure.
I mean, I'll definitely get the booster.
I'll get the box we get from. I'm probably not even going to buy a spare box anymore.
We don't
play enough in paper, you and I, these days. Like, if I was going to Standard every week, then. And once, right. you know, who knows how things change once the pandemic's really over. But where I sit right now, it's hard for me to invest in paper and arena and invest in commander, you know? And I mean, we've got some, this is a little tidbit, a little sneak peek. We've got some information coming up on commander stuff. We are going to, you know, we're still a Standard podcast, but we've been in talks with a few things. So Commander Craft is going to have some really cool, exciting changes coming soon. Not going to go into any more than that, but stay tuned for that information. Cause we're very excited.
Such
about
a
that.
Tease.
I know, that's really what we do here. You know, you got to keep them coming back, man. So, you know, and Dave's in the chat. But, wow, this is really good. Holy shit, this is 10%. Oh, that explains a lot. Okay. So let's go to combat, where we're not going to combat.
Are you sure?
I don't think we have a combat tonight, do we?
Yeah, probably not.
We're sitting at 46 minutes, and I do want to talk about the win a box.
Malcolm's Gambit is crazy. That's the combat. It wins.
Oh, God, that card's got to go. I'm telling you right now, I'm guaranteeing that card does not make rotation.
I'm not willing to stick my...
that.
Well, rotation as in... like
when it rotates.
Next fall?
Yes. No, it doesn't rotate next fall. It rotates a year from next fall. Because we're in this fall. Next fall is we lose Zendikar.
I don't want to go so far out on a limb as to guarantee it. I'll say that I wouldn't be surprised.
I guarantee it. I'm going to guarantee it. I'm giving a 100% guarantee that card gets banned before it's rotated. Because it's fucking stupid.
It is stupid. It is very stupid.
All right. That was good combat. Let's go back to main. And I already played the thing. So main 2. So that was kind of our Crimson Vow stuff. And guys, here's the thing. It's a good set. I'm going to put that out there. We're going to do more previews next week.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of stuff I still want to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some great cards. And we'll be able to do 4, I think, next week because we're not talking mechanics. But let's talk a little bit about the Win-A-Box promo. So here's what happens. As you guys know, with every Standard set, Kerwins provides us with a box to give away to a listener. And we decided a year and a half ago now that the best way to do that is a one and done tournament. So we have 32 slots in this tournament. And so what it is it's played on Arena. It's played over whenever you can. You have 7 days to get your event in. So when we launch next Monday at the absolute latest, I'm going to try to go before then. If we can fill the 32, we will. If not, we launch next Monday. Right now, we are sitting at, I do believe, 18 or 19. And that's because we've allowed our patrons and Discord people who are in our Discord the first shot. But now we're opening up to all of you. So here's how this works, okay? It is a 100-card historic brawl tournament. So very much like the last one. However, we threw a little wrinkle in this one.
I like the wrinkle.
I do too. Oh, we're at 19, by the way. We have Ember. So the wrinkle is this. It is legendary 100-card historic brawl. What does that mean? It means your commander cannot, once you designate your commander, it cannot be anyone else's commander. So as of right now, there are 18 commanders that have, or not 18, but I think there's like 16 commanders that have been called. That leaves 435 others. So you believe me, we're not hobbling anybody. But once a commander is taken, That commander is your commander. Nobody else will use it. So
you can still use it in the 99.
You can use it in the 99, but we will not see a Golos deck versus a Golos. We won't see an Omnath versus Omnath. You know, Nick took Omnath. We knew Nick was going to take Omnath. The commanders that have been taken, and I'll tell you what, I'm kind of loving the fact that the commanders that have been taken are not, you know, there's still some fucking monster commanders out there. The commanders taken are Kinnan, Geesa, Asmodeus, Kenrith, First Sliver, Finn, Kari Zev. I loved that. Sivalun of Sea and Sky, Niv-Mizzet
Merfolk, really? Okay.
Yeah. Cody Vociferous Codex, you knew that was coming. Baral, Chief of Compliance. Golos.
Knew that was coming.
Golos.
No, yeah.
Nicol Bolas the Ravager. Mm-hmm. Grim Gully, Dina Soul Steeper, and Tasa Karlov. So there are plenty of other commanders out there that are available. So once you designate your commander, then you have to put your deck list in. What happens is next week, next Monday, I'll shut things down. I'll open the deck list so everybody can see the deck list, and I'll have the brackets created. Mm-hmm. After that point, you have 7 days to play your first round match. When you are matched up with somebody else, that's when the 7-day clock starts again. So you have 7 days to play your event. It is 100-card historic brawl. It is best 2 of 3. Now, it gets a little weird with that. There is no sideboard. Okay, you're not going to sideboard cards out. The reason we did 2 of 3 is we're all aware of Arena's problems. Okay, we're not throwing shade on Arena by any stretch of the imagination.
But we're totally throwing shade at Arena. Their shuffler fucking sucks.
and I don't want the feel bad of I had to mulligan down to 5 and keep a 2-lander. You know, and I want you to have 2 out of 3. Now, the last event, we did have people give us videos, and I'm sorry we never got to do those. Aramis and I are going to put together a schedule for that. I do encourage you to record your events, because what happens is Aramis and I then do commentary of those events, of those matches afterward. We don't do it live because that's kind of unfair. So, but we're very excited for this. So it is 100-card historic brawl. To sign up, it's very, very easy. We use something called a tournament bot, and it's inside our Discord. So to get there, you have to go to discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. I'm not even doing a discord.gg/many, many stupid letters that don't work. I managed to make it work. Discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. You go there and sign up. There's a tournament lobby that you will find. You go in there and you follow the instructions. If you're lost, ask for help. We're all in there. Many, many people are in there throughout the day doing many, many conversations. It's also where Cantrip Cartel hangs out. So it's a worthwhile thing. We're very, very excited for this. I think this is going to be a fun tournament. Just looking at the commanders we've already got, I'm very excited for this.
I'm kind of hoping that there's other certain commanders that show up, because there's a lot of the ones you mentioned, I see them on a fairly regular basis. The Kari Zev deck, that's something that's going to be super interesting. I really want to see what that looks like. I won't be surprised if I see like a Magda. I won't be surprised if I see like a Mara Tandris. I won't be surprised with variation of Teferi, Hero of Dominaria.
There's some, that's just it. Hero of Dominaria or Teferi Time Raveler. Like,
Time Raveler's banned in historic.
Oh, that's
brawl.
True. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, sorry. Thank goodness. I will say, this. I have always had a lot of fun with Zakama.
Zakama's a fun deck. Like,
Zakama, I mean, even Gishoth. I mean, those are things. I mean, there's some ridiculous bullshit you can pull with a Zakama deck in Historic Brawl. I mean, Vorinclex is a thing. Not the new one, the old one. The Praetor, the original one. And then, you know, Sunbird's Invocation, Nyx Bloom Ancient. There's Mirari's Wake. There's ways to double your mana, get Zakama out in turn 5, and just... Yeah, it's disgusting.
So, guys, I hope you join this. This is a lot of fun. We have a good time with this. Make sure you record your events. We will schedule. I think we're going to do Fridays again for a while, if you can, Aramis. I'm not sure what your schedule is.
I think Friday should be fine. We'll talk about that offline. Yeah. But we wanted to do commentary for the last Brawl tournament, and we're really, really sorry we didn't get to it. It's just we got busy. Things just happened,
and
the timing sucked.
I'm really hoping to get this started as soon as possible so we avoid the holidays. I'd love to have the box out by Thanksgiving.
That would be awesome.
You know, here's the thing. It is only 32. If you want a chance to win a box. Now, I don't know, given how Wizards is, it's supposed to be a set booster box. But here's the thing. It's up to Kerwins. So I'm not saying set. I'm not saying draft. I guarantee it's not a collector. But it's either a set booster or a collector or a draft booster that will be sent to you for free. If you're in the Continental.
I was going to say, yeah.
If you're in the continental United States, it's sent to you for free. If not, if you want to play and you're outside the continental U.S., you're more than welcome to play. It's just if you win, we're going to be like, hey, where can we send it? You know, can we send it to, you know, one of my Job Corps people back, you know, at the other place? Or, you know, we'll give it to somebody. We'll make sure it gets to somebody who can't afford anything. So, or if you have somebody here you want to give it to, that's perfectly fine. So, I hope you join. Like I said, 100-card historic brawl, but legendary. Like, this was a neat idea we came up with. I don't know what we're going to do for Kamigawa. I want to come up with something insane for that.
Ninjas only.
Or dragons. Ninjas versus dragons.
Ninjas versus pirates.
But, yeah, it's definitely worthwhile. Everybody enjoys playing it. Because it's fun, and because we're not doing it on a Saturday afternoon where you have to sit in front of your computer and wait for your next event, you know, the key for me is I want you to be able to play whenever you feel like playing. You know, you have to get there in 7 days. You have to put your deck lists. I have to have a deck list. We had people sign up last time that didn't get me deck lists in time. I'm like, nothing I can do for you. You know, so make sure you follow instructions. Make sure you're very active in the Discord. Because if you're active in the Discord, then you'll see that I will reach out to you. We communicate mainly through Discord. So.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun to watch. It'll be curious to see how many people use Planeswalkers as their commander. Because that's always been my one big
problem with Brawl.
It's commanders that are Planeswalkers because it's just they generate so much value. I mean, they're beatable.
Yeah.
They're eminently beatable. It's just, you know.
I started trying to come up with an automated way to call commanders. And so I actually spent about 2 days going out and going through Arena and building a database of how many commanders were available. Because at first I was like, wow, man, I mean, this is going to suck because it's 32, but you know, there's probably only so many. And then I was like, there's 500 commanders possible, counting Planeswalkers. And War of the Spark alone provided a lot of that.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm obviously, like,
yeah, some obviously of them
some commanders are not going to have, yeah, yeah, they're not going to have the support.
But I also looked at it and said, there are at least 50 top-tier can-win-this-tournament commander enough support. So that's where I felt okay about this. Yeah. So, you know, and what we did for this was, I mean, here's the deal. This is, you know, and I'm not shilling our Patreon, but our patrons had first dibs. And believe me, 12 out of our 18 were patrons. Like, they joined up right away. I gave it to patrons first, then I gave it to Discord. So here's the deal. Even if you're involved in this and then you're like, well, stay involved in the Discord. Stay engaged because we believe in rewarding those who help us. So, and this is really the only way we can do it. So,
help me help you.
Help you. So, help me Crimson help. Vow, right? Like I said, right now we've got about 16 taken commanders out of 32. There are 19 registered. So we have room for 13 more people to sign up. I will keep this off of Facebook till Wednesday. Wednesday, I will create the ads I put into all the different Facebook groups. So if you're a podcast listener and you're driving to work right now, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. If you're watching this on a stream, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Because what happens is usually once I start putting this into the Facebook groups, this is kind of how we get unusual people to join up. So, but we usually can fill the tournament very easily through Facebook, Reddit, and all the various groups. So please make sure that as a fan of our show, as somebody who listens to our show, I want you guys to win it. You know, I want to fill the tournament because I want it to be fun. Mm-hmm. But if you're a fan of the show and you want a free box, sign up right away. We'd love to have you. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm loving some of these commanders, man. And Ember just signed up his commander. Ember took Tatiova. Tatiova's out.
I was wondering when Tatiova was going to be taken out. That card, I just played Tatiova. I have a Tatiova deck. I just played it yesterday. And somebody had me down to like 5 life, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves. I untapped, cast Scape Shift, Time Warp, Balaghan Recovery into Time Warp. By the way, Scoot Swarm was out, and Field of the Dead. I think I had like 70 tokens on the board, and they're like, yeah, I think I'm done.
So Tatio was in, so this is great. So I'm very much excited for this.
Love Tatiova. It's so much fun.
So do I. Let me create Ember's... And Ember is the son of one of my friends from... Who am I kidding? He's a friend of mine, too. They're a friend of mine, too. So 100%. Like, good person, though. I'm kind of excited for him.
Tatiova's deck you can build in the cheap, too, which is nice.
Yeah, well, that's just it. And you know, they're a struggling college kid. So I totally get that. But that's kind of anything else we want to talk about with the Winnabox? And I mean, this is kind of the Winnabox until, like, we're not going to have anything else.
Until Kamigawa in, what, February?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is pretty much
it's
going to
be a lull. It's going to be really weird not having spoiler season for 3 months. Or two
I
and a half months.
I am very excited for that, by the way, though. Like, I'm 100% very excited for a bit of a lull. I want to get into some of the Commander Craft stuff. We want to talk about proxies. There are things we want to talk about. So, in some ways, like, spoiler season actually hurts us. Because it's like, God, we got to talk more about spoilers? Jesus, there's nothing. I can't talk news or exciting stuff. Like, I almost want to do, like, at the year end, be like, things we didn't get to.
That would be
news
fun.
That came out that you know we would have reported on, but it was preview season. I am looking forward to the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I'm just gonna put this out there right now. We're gonna have a special Commander Craft. It's gonna be the four hosts Commander Craft. It's Cantrip Cartel versus Planeswalkers Podcast. So
now is that Wednesday before the 17th or Wednesday before the 24th?
The night before Thanksgiving.
So the 24th. Okay.
Yeah. So that's gonna be off the hook. Like, first of all, we gonna get wrecked.
Oh, Zakam is coming. I'm locking it in right now. I'm locking it in. Zakam is there.
I think I have to roll in with like Omnath. What's my best deck? Omnath or Kali?
Probably Kalamax. Yeah. Extra turns are ridiculous in Commander.
Cause not for nothing, but Jake and they're coming in with Legacy shit. We in trouble.
Well, Commander's Legacy is light, so
yeah, it's Diet Legacy.
Yeah, so I'm not too concerned.
I'm not either. Said nobody ever.
It's gonna be fun. As long as if they're not bringing CEDH, that's different.
Well, I've told them that, like, you know, let's keep it friendly because nobody likes to see CEDH out of stream. They're like, oh yeah, cards I can never afford. So. All right, so on that note, I guess we should go to
End Step.
So, End Step, while Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in their deck boxes, taking our pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this game store, we want to remind you guys that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. You can look up the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch, and there you'll see all the shows we do on both Magic and other geeky games. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73, where I've started playing DC Universe Online, Farming Simulator. Minecraft is becoming a big thing. And don't forget, we have a Patreon Minecraft server. If you're a patron and you play Bedrock Minecraft and you want in on this, it's pretty active. My son's friends are all over the damn thing. So if you'd love to play, we'd love to have you. I basically set up a world where I took the world from Flashcraft, removed everybody's base but my own and the central city, and then made that the world. So I'm like, I still have my cool base, and the rest of you can build whatever you want. So definitely encourage you guys to see that. So MindCrime73 is where that Planeswalkers Podcast on Twitch, and I hope to check it out.
Yep, and if you want to interact with the show in a more real-time fashion, we've been talking about it all night. Our Discord is awesome. A lot of great folks on there. You can chat about the game, play a game over Spell Table if you want to do that. If you're lucky, one of us might be there And maybe we'd be like, hey, yeah, sure, I got some time. I'm more than happy to join a game if I got the time for it.
At some point, I need to test my deck. So, yeah, I'd probably be out there tomorrow night.
So, so if you want to get in on that, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Again, that is also where you need to go if you want to play our Win a Box tournament to win a box of Innistrad, Crimson Vow, and get the ridiculous extra turn spell that Benson is guaranteeing will be banned before rotation next year or the year after or whenever the hell next rotation is. I forget. I've slept since then, okay?
Yeah. It's going to get banned. It gets rotated out in
It's getting banned before it gets banned before it rotates. That's his guarantee.
I guarantee that.
Not guaranteeing enough to put a pack on it, but guaranteeing it to guarantee it, which is fine,
well,
too.
Well, we will remember if we put a pack on it at this point. It's just stupid.
I will remember you. There you go. So also, if you want to follow our Twitter, we do post when we're going live. We're posting if, you know, something really interesting happens and we want to talk about it real quick and it's not in the Discord, go to @PlainsTalkerPod on Twitter. That's where you'll find us there.
And I want to remind you that my personal Twitter is @WRBenson. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com/PlainsTalker and like and follow our page. Don't forget, too, we do a playcast. What? My screen changed to my other camera. That's weird.
I see. We're looking at your hand.
Yeah, that was really strange.
And now we're looking at... There's the green screen.
My green screen. Yeah, so my personal Twitter is Facebook.com/PlainsTalker, not PlainsTalkers, because that's somebody's airplane site. Like and follow our pages there. Don't forget, as well, Wednesday night, we do not have a fourth right now. We do have a third because Spawnimal Drotha won last week. We're looking for a fourth. If you're a patron, we'd love to have you sign up before tomorrow. You're welcome to. Just hit me up in the Discord. If you're not a patron, you're welcome to sign up tomorrow after 8 a.m., we need a fourth for Commander Craft. That is our Wednesday playcast where we play Paper Commander live. Tune in on all of our channels Wednesdays around 7 Eastern. And again, we're looking for a few players. You could be one of them.
And I think I figured out what I'm going to play on Wednesday.
Oh, shit. Sakama. That was...
No. Okay. No. I think I might play a Sika.
Ooh.
Because if he's going to be
Don't
blowing
play
up a
Zozu. Because I've got Zozu.
I was thinking, if he's playing a lot of enchantment hate, all those guys are indestructible. So
true.
I have some resistance to that. But then it's also a slow enough deck. It's a slow enough deck that I can, you know, everybody can still kind of do their thing. So,
well, if you look at the deck list I put up for what I'm playing Wednesday, though, here's the thing. If it gets going, I could do... Because it's not just... I'm trying to damage your face. And I'm trying to do, like, triple, double damage every time I do it. I've got seven Dragon's Approaches in there. So, I'm like...
Oh, Dragon's Approach Torbern. Okay, I got you.
So, I'm like...
Where's my meddling mage?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to be looking to hit people in the face. And Spawn, no offense to you, my friend, but... you're public enemy number one right now. So
I have no enemies right now. Just let you know, we'll wait until the game happens. I'm keeping my game memory short for this one because I really didn't get a chance to do much of anything with my pirate deck.
Well, you hit a freaking wall on your first game.
Both games, kind of, really.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes. Digressing.
Our emails. Why don't you talk about our emails?
Talk about emails. Send us things to the interwebs. Email is the snail mail of today. Nobody even sends emails anymore. But if you decide you want to be a dinosaur and send an email, there's three email addresses. Let's see. Squawk. There are three different email addresses you can use to get in contact with us. They are zakama@zakama.zakama.
Have you
just
been
kidding. Zakama, chameleon.
Yes.
So, yeah, the first email address goes to both of us. It's podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. Woo-hoo! If you want to email one of us individually, we read all the emails anyway, sometimes on the air, if they're especially snarky and cool. We like that, too.
I read them even if they're not.
Yeah. Half the time they're spam.
Yeah.
If you want to email Will, you can email him directly. His email address is, oddly enough, will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email me, it's Aramis, Aramis, @planestalkerspodcast.com. Zakama!
Yes. So... I guess on that note... We want to thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. We had a good time. It was nice to be back. Sorry we had to take a week off while I was dealing with some stuff. But we will be back next Monday with the big show, as well as Wednesday night for Commander Craft. Please make sure you tune in. We really appreciate all of you watching and supporting the show as you can. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thanks for being listeners. Thank you for being a part of our show and reminding you to always keep some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.